Christ's command to his followers before his ascension to heaven was for them to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Our Lord did not intend for the good news of his death and resurrection to stay local, but instead it was to be taken globally. In this third section of Acts, the adventure continues as the gospel is taken to the ends of the earth. Let's join Scott Pauley now for today's study.
Several times in recent days, I have been asked by a number of believers, what is the most effective way to give the gospel, the most effective way to give a Christian witness? And my answer repeatedly is this: obviously, you use the scripture. There's nothing more powerful than the Word of God. But outside of the scriptures, the most powerful thing you have is your own personal testimony. I'm convinced that lots of people who will never listen to your preacher give a sermon would listen to you give your story. Stories are powerful things. People love story. They love narrative. They're interested in hearing what God has done in somebody else's life. So you use that. And I think the great example of this in Scripture is the Apostle Paul himself, who repeatedly, all through the book of Acts, every time he's asked to give an account for himself and to answer the hard questions, what does he do? He goes back again and again to his own personal testimony. Let's get the setting, and then I'll show you what I'm talking about. We're picking up our study today in Acts 25, verse number 22. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus's commandment Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, ye see this man, about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself hath appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. Wherefore I have brought him forth before you, and specially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have somewhat to write. For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. And may I just say, Paul is following in the nail-pierced footprints of his master, the Lord Jesus. Because you will remember, Jesus was falsely accused. He was put on a mock trial. It really was a mistrial by every measurement. And so Paul's going through the same thing. He's not worthy of death. He shouldn't even be imprisoned. They understand this, but they're playing political games and trying to appease the mob mentality and the rage of these religious rulers. And so here is the Apostle Paul standing before this massive group of very powerful, prominent people. And we pick up the conversation in chapter 26, verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Mark that phrase in your Bible and in your thinking: speak for thyself. Speak for yourself, my friend. I find it really comical. Agrippa says, you're permitted, you have permission. May I just say, you don't need permission when you have a commission. I understand that the king was the one who was the most powerful man in the room, but I just want to remind you that we have an authority higher than any king on earth. It's from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he has given us the command to speak for ourselves. He has given us the command to speak for him and to represent him in this world. And so here is Paul standing before these people, and I love the fact he's not intimidated. My friend, don't be intimidated today. You have nothing to be intimidated about. You have nothing to back up over, nothing to feel badly about. Speak with clarity and certainty about your faith in Jesus Christ and the difference he's made in your life. So, chapter 26, verse 1, then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. There it is again. Agrippa says, speak for yourself. Paul answers for himself. And here's how he begins, verse number 2, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Now, I'm going to give you a number of principles in this study and in the next about speaking for yourself, about giving your personal testimony. But let's begin with one today, all right? It's an interesting word in verse 2. He said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa. Now, in verse 3, he's happy to be standing before Agrippa because, let him say in his own words, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. So he knows this man has context, has understanding, would know what he's talking about. But I love the fact that when he begins his defense, it's not defensive. When he begins his defense, it is joyful. Pay attention not only to what he says, but how he says it. His tone is one of victory, of joy, of gladness. This is the way it ought to be. Dear friend, when you speak of Christ and the difference he's made in your life, it ought to be a joyful testimony. And so here's our first principle. When you speak for yourself, first, speak with a happy spirit. I'm convinced we need to get back to just having simple, personal conversations about Christ. Not trying to give a presentation, not trying to give a lecture, not trying to win a debate. Just having conversations about Christ. Not about every peripheral thing, not about all the issues in the world and what's wrong with government and the church and all of that, but about Christ. I'm thinking now of Paul's words in another place, such as I have, give I thee. As much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. Just give what you have. Just share what is on the inside of you. You know, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, gave his testimony more than 300 times in his written sermons. That's fascinating to me because it's a reminder that you have nothing better to talk about. I don't care who you are, how much theology you know, how many issues you can converse on. The Apostle Paul, arguably, was the brightest man in the room because this is a man who has the intellectual powers and the academic training. It is estimated his training, his education, would have been the equivalent of 3 PhDs in our day. This is a man who can converse on any topic, but what does he want to talk about? He wants to talk about Christ. And when he speaks about Christ, he does so with such joy and gladness, with a happy spirit, that it represents the Lord Jesus well in this place. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So, I have a homework assignment for you today. Here's the homework assignment. We'll return to Acts 26 in our next study, talk more about how to speak for yourself. But here's your assignment. I'd like to challenge you today to sit down somewhere and write out your gospel testimony. Just sit down and write it out. Let it be brief. Get to the point. Don't major on the minors. Talk about your life before you met Jesus. Talk about how you came to know Christ as your Savior. And then talk about what Christ means to you now that you're saved. Write out these simple component parts of your gospel testimony and then share it with one person. You may want to share it on social media. You may want to share it with your family. You may want to share it with a friend. I pray that God will give you a divine appointment today, but give it to someone. If you have a story of God's work in your heart, then learn to articulate it. Learn to express it. And remember this, when you're sharing that story, you should do so with a happy spirit. Nothing more attractive than a person whose heart has been changed by the wonderful grace of Jesus, and they just want to talk about Him. Share your story, speak for yourself today, and do it with a happy spirit.
Though no more scripture is being written, the story of the furtherance of the gospel is being written at this very moment, and we get to be part of that story. The heart of our Savior is as passionate for the lost today as it was just before He ascended in Acts 1. Will you get in on what God is doing in the world today to reach the lost with the gospel? This is why Enjoying the Journey exists. To encourage and to equip you in the work of the gospel, whether it is through the daily broadcast or the many resources on our website. Scott and all of us on the Enjoying the Journey team are passionate about people coming to know Christ as Savior. we pray that you truly will enjoy the journey. But we also pray that you will bring others with you on your journey of following Christ.